God, give him a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. We honor you, Lord Jesus, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, singers. That was beautiful singing this morning, as always. I just love these songs they're doing. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And as you're turning there, I'm going to be referring a lot to verses 1 through 8. But our actual text this morning is we're going to begin reading at verse 9. That's 2 Kings chapter 5. Just kind of have verses 1 through 8 ready to glance at, so you can make sure what I'm preaching is not something I'm pulling out of thin air. And then we're going to begin reading 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away, and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abanah and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And I want to speak for just a few moments this morning on the subject of the place of cleansing. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit that we felt. I thank you for the gift of tongues and interpretation that has operated and spoke comfort and exhortation and edification to us today. And Lord, now I come and I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to preach your word in a way that it would be made alive to your people and you could make it a blessing to them. Lord, I pray you'll give me your mind. I pray you'll give me your words today to speak to your people, Lord. For like the prophet Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. But Lord, your Holy Spirit upon us as human beings can accomplish so much. And Lord, that's what we want to see today. We want to see our lives changed. Lord, and we know we are powerless to change our lives through our own volition and through our own efforts. But Lord, you can transform us. Hallelujah. Only you can do it, Lord Jesus. But you can transform us into what we can never be, left to our own devices. And Lord, I just ask you to use your word today to accomplish great things in the lives of your people. And will not fail to give you, Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all the praise and the honor and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Years ago, when I was an associate pastor in Newark, Ohio, there were some family members who brought a friend with them this particular day I was ministering. She was lovely young lady. And it brought me back, it brought to my remembrance this situation as I was preparing the text that we read this morning, preparing to preach this week from this text, because I'd preached from this particular text the morning she was in service. And the gist of what I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to bring this morning is not all that much different than what I preached that day, just a little bit of a different genre of thought maybe he's given me, but the essence was that as I preached that day, how all the world was dirty, spiritually speaking. Every man, woman, boy, and girl born were born with this sin nature that we cannot control, that will override all of our common sense, all of our intelligence. It's that powerful. And that the only way to break the power of that sin nature, to keep it from dominating a human being's life, is to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and ask his precious blood to to cleanse that individual. Now, that we hear about the cross all the time and the blood of Jesus, and I know it sounds ugly. It sounds gory, and it is. Because when we look at the cross of Christ, we see the ugliness of our own sin and what it costs to eradicate that sin. So the cross is not aesthetically pleasing to mankind. But that day as I preached, I looked back at her, and about halfway through the message, she began to weep uncontrollably. And I gave the altar call, and she came down and she gave her heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And after the service, I was talking with her, and she said, "I feel so clean now." She said, "You don't know where I've been." And I don't want to get ugly, but she said, "I've lived a debaucherous lifestyle." She said, I've identified with her, because before I knew the Lord, I was there. If I could give you a side note here, the wedding I did last night, there's three of the groomsmen there, and they had them a bottle of Gatorade. It was half full of Jack Daniels and half full of Gatorade. I told them on the way out after the service, I said, "Boys, I said, I want you to come to my church. I said, I got something better for you than Spike Gatorade." They looked at me bug-eyed. But I loved them. I wasn't being a smart aleck to them. I said, "No, I mean it. I said, I want you guys to come, because I said, I used to drink that junk too. And I know what it left me. It left me wanting to blow my brains out in front of a TV set. I said, God's got something better for you than that. And if you'll come to my church, I'll tell you all about it." But that day as I was talking with this young lady, she said, I have felt so dirty for so many years of my life as I've lived this debaucherous, ungodly lifestyle. She said, "There are times that I have come home from parties and have stood in the shower, but I felt so dirty, and I've scrubbed my skin as hard as I could because I felt so dirty over the lifestyle that I've been living." And she said, "And now, when I've given my heart to Jesus," she said, "I feel so clean." And her name was Julie. And I said, "Julie," I said, "that's because you are. That's because you are. You've come to the place to get clean before God." And that's really what all of mankind is hungry for, whether they know it or not. I know when I drank, when I partied, when I consumed what the world told me would make me happy, it left me feeling dirty and unclean. But when I came to Jesus, let me tell you, He's real. He's alive. And you can know that you're clean before Him. It is a verifiable emotion and feeling that when the Holy Spirit enters your heart and life, when you put your faith and trust exclusively in Jesus Christ and what He's done for you on the cross, really, the Holy Spirit enters your heart and your spirit, and He tells you, "You're now clean. You're now whole. You are now a son and daughter of the Most High God." It's the greatest feeling in the world. There's nothing else that can compare to it. It's the longing of mankind's innermost being to have that feeling. But to obtain that standing and that cleansing from God, there's only one place and one way to get it. And that's the rub with mankind. The application of what I'm going to try to bring to you today, let's go to our text now. In verses 1 through 8 of 2 Kings 5, you read about Naaman. Naaman had position, he had power, and he was well known throughout the land. He was the leading military man for the king of Syria. He had everything going for him. But the Bible says he was a leper. Now I want you to think of that for just a moment. He had everything materially the world could offer him, but he was a leper. Leprosy is a perfect illustration of sin and how it operates on the human spirit. I read an article years ago concerning Mother Teresa and her work in India with the lepers. And doctors who assisted her ultimately discovered that leprosy does not rot the flesh away as it was believed. What leprosy does is deaden the skin to where there's no sensitivity, there's no feeling any longer in the in the nerves. And what would happen is the lepers would lay in the street. Wild animals would come and literally eat the flesh off of their body because they could no longer sense. They no longer had any feeling. That's what sin does to the human spirit. It totally desensitizes the human spirit. And I'll prove it to you to where I know at one time you start off maybe with just a can of beer. Nobody sits down and says, well, today I'm going to become a heroin addict. It just does not happen. It's progressive over a period of time. As sin works, it's horrible, evil on the spirit of mankind to where finally that spirit is deadened by sin. And the person can't even feel anymore the horror of what's going on in their innermost being as it's slowly dying and being eaten away. Naaman had everything going for him, but he was a leper. And there was no cure for leprosy. There was no cure. There's no known cure today for leprosy. But in the war with Israel, Naaman's house had taken captive a little Israeli girl who was the maid of Naaman's wife. And she said, would to God that our master would go to the prophet that's in Israel. I'm going to tell you, desperation will drive you to find healing. Naaman was desperate to be healed, though he had everything. It's a perfect picture of what Satan does to people in this life. He'll give power. He'll give position. He'll give profit. He'll give pleasure. He'll give anything he can to bind that human soul and spirit and to keep it bound. But that can't eradicate the fact, with all of this world has to give, that humanity, we're still sinners. That can't be waved away. That can't be bought away. And Naaman, when the servant girl tells him, there's a prophet in Israel by the name of Elisha, and if you'll go to him, he'll heal you of this leprosy. Naaman went to the king of Israel and asked him, will you send me with a letter to the king? He went to the king of Syria and asked him, will you send me to the king of Israel with a recommendation to see this prophet? And the king of Syria loved Naaman. He said, yes, go, go. And he sent him with the modern day equivalent of a gift of over $2 million. If you read verses 1 through 8, all that was offered came to the modern day equivalent of over $2 million. You see, that's man's thinking. Man thinks that he can buy his way out of sin. Man thinks that he can do some work or something of his own volition that will eradicate the horrific deadening effects of sin, but he can't do it. He can't do it. But Naaman was desperate to find a way to be healed of this leprosy. Though he had everything else in the world, he knew in his heart and spirit that he wasn't clean. And he was desperate to be clean. Just like mankind is desperate to be clean before God. And Naaman heard where to go. A glimmer of hope comes into his heart and life, and he says, I'm going there. And he arrives, and the king of Israel reads the letter and tears his clothes because the king of Israel says, who do you think I am? I can't heal you of leprosy. Now, I'm going to stop and preach here for just a minute, okay? That king of Israel represents a backslidden church that has forsaken the cross of Jesus Christ, which is the only source of cleansing. Let me preach for a moment. Laser light shows won't set you free. They may look pretty, and they may titillate the sensitivities of mankind, and they may put on a good show, but a good show won't deliver mankind from the ravages of sin. Only the cross of Jesus Christ through faith in his shed blood will deliver mankind from sin. But somehow, we're not told by the Holy Spirit in Scripture, the prophet Elisha hears, Naaman the Syrian has come and is seeking you for cleansing. And now get this. This is so fleshly, and this is where so much of the church and humanity, when they reject the cross, here's where they are. Naaman comes to the door of Elisha the prophet. And Elisha sends out a servant. Now let me put this in the modern vernacular for just a moment. It would be the equivalent of President Obama showing up at the door of this church wanting to ask me for prayer. And I'd say, hey, Dennis, you going out there and pray for him. Not that Dennis is any lower. Dennis is a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. But it's like Obama's been told, hey, you need to get to Pastor Browning. If he prays for you, now, Chris, quit whispering to him. There they start on me back there. I shouldn't have used them for an illustration. But that would be the modern-day equivalent of what was transpiring here. He wanted the prophet. He didn't want a substitute. He's a powerful man. He's known throughout the world. He's a millionaire. And he's brought a gift of over $2 million. Well, maybe I would go to the door if they showed up with a gift of $2 million. I ain't that holy. I ain't going to put on in front of. No. But he expected the prophet to come out and put on some great show of healing. Some great pronouncement, some great act. Wave a wand in front of him. Chant a mantra. Do a laser light show. And he gets a servant. And the message of the servant to this second most powerful man in the world at this time, he says, you go wash. The prophet has said, you go wash in the River Jordan and you'll be healed. The Bible says Naaman was wroth. And if you study the context in the Hebrew, let's just put it in hillbilly language for a moment. He was spitting mad. What do you mean to tell me to go wash in the ugly, muddy Jordan River? He asked the question, are not the rivers of Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, far better than Jordan? If you study your topography at this time, the rivers of Abana and Pharpar were some of the most purest, cleanest in the world. And the words in Hebrew actually means flowing and rapid. To the natural eye, that looked like the place to go. Now, I don't know why I'm on this morning. I really don't, but the Holy Spirit's pouring it through me. To the natural eye, the laser light show and the dancers look flowing and rapid, don't they? Now, get your minds off of me in a tutu now. I see some of you looking at me. Don't get ugly on me now, okay? I don't want to ruin your lunch or anything, so get that thought out of your mind. What's the point you're trying to make, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you that what so often looks spiritual and good to man's fallen nature is exactly what mankind needs to eschew and run away from. And Naaman wanted to go to that which was pretty and pristine and that which looked good and aesthetically pleasing to the natural eye. And the message is, go to Jordan. Naaman's mad about this. What are you seeing there? You're seeing a modern world and a modern church hating and despising the one source of cleansing that there is, the ugliness of the cross of Christ. And I say ugliness because to the natural eye, it is ugly to think of a man hanging on a patibulum and a gibbet with blood running down his body and a crown of thorns on his head being spat upon. That's one of the ugliest, grotesque pictures that a human mind can conceive. But it's the only place to go for cleansing. It's the only place to go for cleansing with God. And thank God that Naaman had some folks around him that really loved him. And they saw how angry he was at the prophet's instruction. And they said, Master, here it is. I love this. If the prophet had told you to go do some great thing, wouldn't you have done that? Now that's it. Because man wants the glory and his fallen nature that only God can give. If he had said, Naaman, oh, I'm going to get ugly here for just a minute. Naaman, go on TVN. Have Juanita Bynum drape white cloth over you and pour oil over your head and declare how great you are amongst the masses and you be healed. Oh, man, can't you just see that? They'd have all kind of wild shenanigans going on, wouldn't they? But God wouldn't be in any of it, and Naaman would still be in his leprosy. But he's desperate. I want to say this. Our human spirits are so hard. God had to put me in a place of total desperation before I'd finally sit down and listen to him. Although I'd been raised in the church and knew my whole life the right way to live and go, I had eschewed all of it and turned away from it. Living my own debaucherous lifestyle. But when I saw how empty it left me, and it will. I feel the pressing of the Holy Spirit. If you have not come to Jesus Christ and his cross for your cleansing, you're never going to feel clean before God. And there'll still be that inner pressure in your innermost being reminding you, telling you that you're still dirty because you haven't come to God's place of cleansing. And you'll never get rid of it. I don't care how high you go in life. I don't care how much money you make and how many wonderful things people say about you. To put it in the context of the story, we're still lepers. We're still lepers. We're still sinners. And his servants tell him, if they told you to do some great thing, Master, that would have brought honor and glory on you, you would have done it. And Naaman, in desperation, listens to him because he wants clean so bad. Desperation's not a bad thing. If you're praying for your lost loved ones and they fall into a desperate situation, don't pray for God to deliver them out of it. Pray for God's will to be done in their life. Because he's brought them to that situation. Probably more likely your prayers brought them there. Now I know that's not pretty to hear, and we don't like to see our loved ones in a situation like that. But God's working to drive them to the one place where they can get clean, where they can be made whole. And Naaman submits and says, I'll go to Jordan. And the prophets, the servant of Elisha, told him, go dip 7 times. 7 times. Why 7 times? The Bible, or the number 7 in the Bible, is God's symbol for or God's number for completion. In other words, Jordan was a type of the cross of Jesus Christ. It wasn't pretty. It was muddy and ugly and aesthetically displeasing to the human eye. But it was the one place to go to get healed of the leprosy. And Naaman went. And the Bible says that I can just get this in my mind's eye for just a moment. Here's this great man with all of this ornate clothing, no doubt, and armament on, in front of his most high-level ranking officials that have come with him in his army. And he starts taking all this stuff off, looking at the muddy Jordan River. I don't know about you, but when just before a person comes to the cross of Jesus Christ for their cleansing, I know Satan was all over my back. He was telling me, you fool, nothing's going to happen. Even though I'd been raised in the church and I knew this stuff backwards and forwards, I could preach it better than most preachers I heard. He was telling me, before I prayed with Ben Kinchlow at about 1:35 in the morning on January 1st of 1985, he was telling me, just blow your brains out. This stuff ain't real. You know this is just a bunch of religious hype and hooey. And I felt his presence in that room as strong as I felt the presence of God. But when Ben Kinchlow began to pray, he said, there's somebody out there watching this program now, and your name is Greg. And God's got his call on your life. And if you'll give it to him, he'll do greater things with your life than you ever thought possible. I'm telling you, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. God is more powerful than the devil, and he wants to see people saved. And he broke through for me that morning. And I knew, man, I just sat there stunned. Think of that. Now, I ain't nobody special. Don't get that. But God loved me enough to speak to somebody to call out my name on national TV. My Lord. And I found the cleansing instantly. It came. Glory to God. And I can just see Naaman as he's there and he's humbling himself. Because you can't come to the cross without being humbled, without being desperate, without knowing this is my only hope. I've tried everything else and it ain't worked for me. This is my only hope. And he wades out into that ugly, muddy water. Boy, you all, we thought the water was ugly down in Destin last week. Went to one of the most beautiful beaches in the world last week. For 2 days, it was the most beautiful beach in the world. On the third day, that storm in the Gulf had stirred up so much junk. And you all know how I love the beach. I love Deb's description of it. She said it was like swimming in pea soup. Algae and every kind of junk the ocean could offer up came to shore on the beautiful shores of Destin. And I didn't even know to make this correlation at the time, but it's a great crowd. I wasn't thinking about that when I prepared this message. But I mean, man, that place was a mess. And I still got in it. I looked like the creature from the Black Lagoon coming up out of it. I had seaweed and stuff all over me, but I didn't care. For a while, it finally got the best of me. We went on over to Jacksonville. But anyway, this River Jordan was 10 times worse when it gets in the springtime, when more than likely the story took place. That's when the snow in the mountains melt, and the Jordan River gets really dirty. Most times it's clean, but at this particular time, it was filthy dirty with all the sludge off the mountains. And I can see Naaman just wading out in it, and everybody just looking at him. And he goes and begins dipping. One. Two. And with every dip, the enemy's yelling at him, "You fool! You fool! Nothing's going to happen to you." Four. Five. I can hear him going down for the sixth time as he's going down. And that one last cry of Satan telling him nothing is going to happen. You've made a fool out of yourself in front of everybody. They're going to laugh at you now. They're going to reject you. But he goes down that seventh time. And when he pops up out of the water, he looks at hands that had been scaled and red. And now they're like a newborn baby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what the blood of Jesus will do for the human spirit and soul. And it's the only thing that can do that. I don't care what your position in life. I don't care how great you may think you are and how intelligent you may think you are. Sin still has its hold on you if you don't have your faith and trust in Jesus. And when Naaman looked at that skin, I know what he felt like, because I was once that leper, spiritually speaking. They wrote that old song they used to sing years ago in the Pentecostal church. I never shall forget the day that all the burden of my soul was rolled away. It made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for Jesus is everything to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's only one place of cleansing. And until mankind goes to God's prescribed place of cleansing, he will remain spiritually filthy and decaying and desensitized. That's what I want our church to, that's the message I want our church to put out. My Lord, I don't care. I thank God for the good singers we have. But you know, there's one thing about our church. You ain't going to get no show here. If you're coming for a show, go to another church on the corner. They'll put you on one. They're all around by the millions. I want the power of God. I want the Holy Ghost. I want to see my life changed by God's transforming Holy Ghost. And I know that what we preach today is the only way that change will ever occur. You can buck against it. You can be like Naaman. Well, isn't the laser light show and the dancers and the twirlers and the banner ministry? It all looks so beautiful. It won't deliver you. Faith alone in the shed blood of Jesus Christ is all that can provide man's cleansing. And when I came there, and I know most of, just about everyone here today, as far as I know, that's the message we've got to preach in the church. I'll close on this thought. I know God is sick and tired of his church trying to please the world rather than him. Our first order of business in the church is to please Almighty God and not us. It's not our job to go and take a survey of the neighborhood and see what kind of church they want. Our job is to fall on our face before a holy God who has cleansed us and redeemed us and say, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to preach? And if it makes them happy out there, if it makes them mad, sad, or glad, that shouldn't be our concern. Our concern is to make him happy, because he's the one who sends the mighty Holy Ghost into our hearts and lives to change us, sustain us, and keep us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the cross may not be pretty to look at, but my, what it will produce. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel that this morning. I feel the joy in that this morning. That's what Paul meant when he told the Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to preach the cross. I'm not ashamed to preach the blood. Because though it is aesthetically displeasing to my eye and to my mind, I know that Jesus was taking my place on that cross. And he provided my cleansing. He provided my deliverance from sin's power. And he's the only one who can do it. Praise God. Man, I don't know about you. I hope you've been as blessed today as I have been preaching this. Give Jesus Christ a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Would you stand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way, Holy Ghost. This is your service. We're your people. We're here to do your will. I don't want you to get nervous right now. But there's some under the sound of my voice today. You're saved. That's not the question. But there's some areas of your life you need changed in. You need change to come to. There's some areas of your life you need transformed. And that's all of us, really, if we'll be honest. But maybe you've lapsed into a way of thinking where you're trying to make those changes yourself. Or maybe you've been taught that by coming to a certain amount of church services or shaking a preacher's hand that, hey, you just, everything's all right. No. God doesn't quit with us when he saves us. He's not happy with leaving us the way we are. He's really not. And he wants to do the Holy Ghost by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ today. Wants to make some changes in our hearts and lives. And I'm just going to ask you right where you stand. We already know, if we'll be honest. It's just a matter of how we're going to respond to his call today. Are we going to be like Naaman? To deny it and say, I don't need change. I don't need to come to that cross. I've been saved. Oh, my brother, my dear sister, please don't think that way. We need the cross of Christ every day of our lives. Please don't look at it as a one-time event. Not only does it provide our cleansing, it keeps us clean. As we keep our faith in it, we'll never outgrow our need for Christ and him crucified. And I feel the Holy Spirit's already made it plain. I'm not going to beleaguer the point. But just right now, between you and him, nobody's going to embarrass you. That's not the design of this. The Holy Spirit never wants to embarrass anyone. But he does want to help. He does want to make changes that you and I can't make. He does want to deliver us in certain areas of our lives that we've held on to and kept from God. The key word today that I believe he's pouring into my spirit is what Naaman did, and that's submission to the authority of God's word, doing it God's way. What if Abraham had rebelled, or Abraham, what if Naaman had rebelled and said, I'm not going to Jordan. It's ugly. It's muddy. I don't like the way it looks. I'm going to go to Abana and Pharpar, and I'm going to dip there 7 times. Or better yet, I'm going to dip in those rivers 14 times. He could have went and done that, and nothing would have changed for Naaman. You see, God is very specific. If you'll study His Word, you'll find He's very specific about how He is to be approached and about the only way He will perform His wondrous work for mankind. Mankind does not get to choose how we're going to approach God and how we're going to obtain victory in our lives or how we're going to transform our lives. No, no, no. No, no. God's very explicit. Come to the cross of Christ. Christ and Him crucified. That's the answer. That's the only answer. And today, between you and the Lord, nobody else has to know. We don't need to know. My Lord, we're just all sinners saved by grace together. And all I am is one starving man telling another starving people where there's a guy giving out free sandwiches. I'm one drowning man telling other men and women where there's a lifeboat. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Take it to Him today and ask Him to change your life. He'll do it. He'll do it. If you'll give Him control, if you'll submit and come His way to the cross of Jesus Christ, and you remain there daily placing your faith in Him, your life will change. Your life will be transformed. Let's go to Him in prayer now. He's a God of great grace. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we need Your help today. Lord, we need Your help. Forgive us for our stubbornness, Lord, in wanting to do things our own way. Lord, we need victory today in areas of our lives that we've withheld from You. And Lord, we come to You today asking You, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, through faith exclusively in what You did for us on the cross, we come asking You to make the change that we can't make. Asking You, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, to transform us, and asking one more time for Your Holy Spirit to show us the joy of our salvation. Let the Holy Spirit of God fall in this place now and confirm to each and every one that we are clean before a holy God. We are objects of His love, not His judgment, but it's predicated upon the fact that our faith is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That alone will allow the transforming, awesome power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Forgive us, Lord. And I believe now, in the name of Jesus, as we have submitted our lives to the authority of Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, I literally feel the Holy Spirit flowing through these aisles right now and into hearts and lives. Thank You, Lord. I feel it in mine anyway. I need changed, Lord. I need shaped more into the image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I need victory in areas of my life that only You can give. I can't earn it, Lord. I can't be good enough, Lord. But by Your grace and mercy, hallelujah, by Your grace and mercy, it's being accomplished. It's being accomplished. And we thank You, Lord, for Your love toward us, that You won't quit on us no matter what. Somebody needs to hear this morning. God is not going to quit on you. I don't even care if you got yourself in the own mess. I've done it a million times. And when I go to Him, He always, without fail, has restored me, cleansed me, and set me on the right path again. And I'm here to tell you, blessed me. Hallelujah. And He'll make those events appear like they never even happened. That's the power of God. He can do things like this. We can. He can. Glory to His name. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, today for what we've learned and what we've heard from Your Word. Amen and amen. Give Him a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, our sin cleanser, our sin bearer. We love You today. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Man, oh man, that was fun preaching that today. I'll shut up and let you go home before Good Morning America comes on. It's been great to be with you in God's house today. Come on out and be with us on Wednesday night. We're having a great study on divine healing. And we'll probably be in that a couple more weeks anyway. And God's going to see you through. God is going to see you through. Before we're dismissed, I've got to obey the Holy Ghost. Would you all stretch forth your hands toward Shannon back there? Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, it's going to be all right for Shannon. Shannon, I wouldn't play with you for the world, you know me, but I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to tell you this. My daughter, have I not always held you in my hand? Have I not always been there to comfort and uphold you? I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I'm with you now, as I will evermore be. As long as you maintain your faith exclusively in me, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I am your great and exceeding reward. Thank you, Lord. 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 Would you all stretch forth your hands toward Andy and Chloe? I just want to pray for them this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to lay your hand upon Andy and Chloe. Comfort them. Give them wisdom, Lord. Bless them, Father. And Lord, just do a mighty, mighty work that needs to be done in Jesus' name. And Lord, I know you love them. I know they're serving you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I know you're going to dispense your power into this situation and move on their behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. And if there's others of you before we're dismissed, you need special prayer in any way, would you just lift up your hand and hold it up unto the Lord? I really felt the Holy Spirit leading me to do this. I was ready to dismiss. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, for every hand that's raised, you know the situation. And Lord, when they raised that hand, they were saying, I'm crying out to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They were saying, I'm putting my faith in him. I know he can help me. And I feel another word, general word of the Lord to everybody who has their hands raised. It reiterates what the Holy Spirit told us earlier. I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I am the Lord your God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give him another hand of praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pentecostals, hear me. Let's not be like Naaman. Well, nobody called down the altar and nobody fell out in the spirit, so couldn't much happen. Oh, no, I felt the power of God flow through this place. Don't be like Naaman. Don't think some great show needs to go on. The work goes on inwardly. That's the greatest work. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mike, come dismiss us in prayer and I'll shut up and let us go home.